You're listening to JD and Tammy Rucker as we deliver the NOQ report, or as we like to call it, the NOQ report. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and enjoy.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the NOQ report, the NOQ report. I'm your host, JD Rucker, and I am unfortunately not joined today by my lovely, brilliant, talented, and just absolutely and completely and utterly outstanding in every possible way. I mean, I can't think of anything that my lovely co-host and wife can't do better than pretty much anyone else out there. So, she's not joining us today. She's still with her mother, who is sick in the middle of the country. Flyover country. I would be there with her if we didn't have a three-year-old, but it's kind of hard, you know, yada, yada, yada. Today, the title of the episode is called How to Resist the First you need to learn English. How to Resist the Post-Truth Society that is engulfing us. And it is. You know, this is not something new. The Post-Truth Society has been here for a while. It's been growing. And we've fought it. Most of us have fought the cultural Marxism that brings it about. We fought postmodernism that, you know, was the precedent, or not the precedent, but it was what was driving the rise of a post-truth society. Now, there is a big difference. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this difference, but essentially just break it down in two sentences. Postmodernism says there is no absolute truth, that it's everything's relative and, you know, this, that, or the other, and it's where you get into some odd ideas. But post-truth is actually worse. It's much worse. It says there is objective truth, and it is defined by the individual themselves. And this is how we get the idea of oh, hey, you know, I'm a girl, you know, but tomorrow I'll be a boy, and then after that I'll be non-gender fluid, whatever, just, you know, stuff like that. That's just an example of the rise of the post-truth society. And now it's becoming pervasive. I mean, it's hitting every aspect of our world, of America. You know, we see it with, I guess, the most obvious example is how the same people who were saying, oh, no, those, all the burning, the rioting, the bad stuff, the death and the murder, the chop and the chaz and everything that happened over the summer, that was justifiable. That was justified. There was, you know, no repercussions there, nothing at all. Oh, but the riots, which apparently were incited in many ways by the left, by Antifa, by Black Lives Matter activists, arrests being made of these people, and people on the right too. I don't want to say, oh, it was all Antifa. It was MAGA supporters as well. I would say the majority of them were MAGA supporters, but the inciting of it, that didn't happen as a result of President Trump's speech at the rally, okay? It just didn't, period. People can say what they will. They can watch all the doctored videos that they want. The truth is, I watched the entire video. It's not there. What you see reported on CNN or MSNBC, or we even caught it reported on CBN. Thank the Lord, we called them out on it. They contacted us and said, "Hey, you were right. We switched it. We took it down." But unfortunately, it had already been on the channel. It had already been seen by tens, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people. A doctored video that showed basically it flip-flopped words, took them out of context, flip-flopped them, and made it seem as if the president was saying, we got to go to the Capitol and we got to fight or we're going to lose our country. These are two separate statements. They even reversed the order, okay? I'm not going to get into that. You look it up. It's over at NOQ Report. Just do a search for CBN. And again, like I said, they did correct it, but really only after the damage was already done. So, yeah, that's part of being in this post-truth society. But the people that were okay with the riots and continue to be okay with the riots over the summer that caused like $2 billion in property damage alone, not to mention the dozens of people that were killed, are changing their tune when it comes to these riots, the Capitol riots. And that's, yeah, it's all part of a narrative. And that's just, it disgusts me. I don't even like talking about it at all. And we know that it wasn't President Trump. I think it was Jack Posobiec over at One American News, who, I don't know if he was the first to point out, but the first to point out on my Twitter feed, He said, look, if this was planned, there were bombs planted at the RNC and DNC in Washington, D.C. as a result of the riots, during the riots. Are you telling me that somebody, you know, somebody was going to be totally peaceful, but then they saw the president's speech and they're like, oh, crap, here, let's go make bombs real quick and put them. No, folks, anybody who tells you that the president incited these riots is gaslighting. They're buying into the false narrative. And they're participating in this post-truth society that we find ourselves in today. But I want to be clear, because we're going to be talking about the future and a future with the Joe Biden administration, but I want to be very clear about something up front. I am still, and people tell me I'm crazy for thinking this, I am still at 50-50. I've been at a solid 50-50 ever since I dropped down from 90 and 85%. I'm at 50-50 that President Trump, even today, the 18th of January, 2 days before the supposed inauguration of Joe Biden, I still think there's a 50-50 chance that God will come through. Because, and here's the thing, if you are a believer and you acknowledge that God is all-powerful and you know that his will be done no matter what, okay? If he wills that President Trump is to win, then there's nothing that the powers and principalities can do to stop it. And if he wills that Joe Biden is to win, then there's nothing that we can do to stop it. So since we don't know his will, we can't make, I mean, you could be at a higher percentage than 50-50. You know, you could have been at a 90 or 95 like I was for a while. But you can't go below 50 because, again, at that point, it becomes a toss-up. It becomes completely in God's hands, which is a good thing, okay? Let's face it. If it had happened, you know, a month ago, month and a half ago, if Rudy Giuliani, if a lawsuit came through, Sidney Powell did this or whatever, there would have been people to be like, wow, you know, that Trump team, really, those Democrats are idiots, and the Trump team really came through. At this point, today, or tomorrow, or even the 20th, if this election gets corrected, if the voter fraud is fully exposed, and unless, I know, yes, it already has been fully exposed, and it takes a moron to think that it hasn't, but, you know, let's assume that these people are just part of, you know, the people who think that there was not enough voter fraud, just haven't looked at it. You know, they've just been buying the narrative, whether it's Fox News, Daily Caller, Washington Examiner, a lot of the so-called right-leaning news outlets that have been calling for President Trump to concede for weeks, months. Or maybe they're listening to CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, Washington Post, the rest of mainstream media. Or maybe they just didn't take the time to look at all. I think that a lot of people are like that. Most people just haven't actually taken a look at the evidence. So we can't say that they're morons for not understanding. We can't say they're morons if they do look at the evidence and say, oh, there is no evidence. That's ridiculous. Dumb. But I am still at 50-50. You know, there's a few things that have been happening. I've heard a lot of talk on, you don't hear this much talk on Twitter anymore, but on Gab and MeWe, I think it's how you pronounce it. Apparently I got invited to a bunch of Signal groups that I didn't even know about. Telegram, same thing. There's a lot of buzz about how this was a sting. And you know, look, we've been hearing that President Trump this was a sting operation from before the election. Okay, you guys remember when I was insulting? I hate to say it, but I was calling out those on the right who were saying, "Oh, but there were, you know, there's watermarks on the ballots, and that's how they're going to track it down." I'm like, guys, no, that's not possible. Okay, that's just not going to happen. That didn't happen. That's stop it. Okay, I mean, it was logistically impossible. Not to mention that there would have been, if they were anticipating voter fraud at a massive scale, they could have done a whole lot of things differently. You know, we all knew that there was going to be voter fraud. I mean, I knew it. The Trump team knew it. Everybody knew there was going to be massive voter fraud. We just had no idea it was going to be this massive. We did not realize they were going to extend themselves and fully commit. They fully committed. I mean, they've got all hands on deck. They got Jack Dorsey and Mark Zuckerberg. They got Zucker over at CNN. They got the whoever's in charge over Fox News. I forgot the family's name. No, not Murdoch. Anyway, so, you know, they said, look, this is the narrative. Stick to it. You know, it reminded me of, if you've ever read the Book of Enoch, the non-canonical Book of Enoch, there's a part in it where the angels that were about to fall, they're like, hey, you know, if we're going to do this, we're in this together. Okay, we got to fully commit. And that's kind of what seems to have happened. They committed. They said, we're going to do this no matter what. And I don't know if that's because of the Chinese Communist Party has leverage on them. You know, that I still think a lot of people have been one of the three B's. They've either been bought slash bribed, whichever B you like, bullied or blackmailed. And I think in a lot of ways there is a lot of blackmail that has gone on. I've talked about that before on the show. But with that said, well, here we are, you know. I mean, here we are. They've fully committed. And we didn't. So, was there a sting operation? No, there wasn't before. Is there one? I mean, a lot of people are saying, hey, this isn't all the troops being sent to all these capitals. It isn't to stop insurrection. It's to prevent the rioting that's going to happen when the president unveils that, oh, by the way, here's all the evidence we need, and here's what they haven't been telling you, and we're going to make arrests. And you got people envisioning Pelosi and Biden and maybe even Pence and whoever, you know, going off in handcuffs. I'm not going to say that it won't happen. I'm pretty certain that that's not going to happen. But I'm not going to say with 100% certainty because, again, if we believe in the supremacy of our Lord, he can manifest it in any way. If he wants to send aliens down, I don't know. I mean, again, I don't know what it's going to be. But I know a lot of people are talking about that. Could it be? I doubt it. Could it be, though? I mean, is it definitely not? No, it definitely could possibly be. We'll see. There is actually a little bit of evidence that says, look, it is kind of weird that this is happening, that's happening. You know, you put these 15 things together and all of a sudden, you know, Anaconda malt liquor is equals Little Richard. If anybody got that reference, that's funny. Then we've got the Italian connection. We've covered the Italian connection for, what now, 3 weeks? And it's been going on for about 4 or 5 weeks. This is with, what is it? I forgot the name of the group now. I've been trying to score an interview with them for a while. It looks good, and then they're gone, and then they're busy, and then it's hard, and you know, they're getting thousands of emails a day. I understand. But the Italian connection does look solid, except that it's not being covered by anybody. Okay, I mean, you got some of the fringe people. People will say that sometimes I'm fringe with Knock Report. Ooh. You know, I'm not. I'm about as close to steady and normal as possible. But yeah, I mean, I do fall into the fringe a lot of times, especially when I'm publishing stories that a lot of people won't, such as the Italian Connection. Check that out. Just do a search for the Italian Connection. Italy did it, whatever. There's a lot of information out there about that. Is it real? Probably. Maybe. I don't know. Is it worth looking into? Probably, maybe, I don't know. Is that going to be the Moab, the mother of all bombshells, the thing that's finally going to drop? If it is, great. That's awesome. You know, it could be something else. And what is the mother of all bombshells? We've already had so many bombshells. A lot of people ask me that all, you know, what is the Moab? We've had Moabs. We had the Georgia video. We had the Antrim County thing, the analysis. We had the Pennsylvania analysis, the Nevada analysis. We've had all these things that seem to point to it's very clear and obvious and unmistakable that there was massive voter fraud, and that this massive voter fraud was what happened. And that's why the election was lost, quote-unquote lost. You have Mike Lindell went, apparently did a presentation to the president and his lawyers this week, or last week, saying, look, we have the data that proves that you won by 11,000 or 11 million votes. You not only did you win, you know, all these states, these contested states, you won the popular vote in the United States of America. This is Mike Lindell from MyPillow.com. I want to get my hands on that data. Now, that's a scoop. Mike, if you're watching, if anybody who knows Mike is watching, come on. Give me a call, brother. I'm easy to find. Whatever the Moab is, we still have to pray for it. And if it doesn't come, okay, so then at least at that point we know that God's plan is for us to endure, persevere. And there are benefits. I'm not going to sit here today. I'm not going to start telling you, oh, all these silver linings about what's going to happen if you know, Joe Biden is inaugurated on the 20th. Here's, you know, it's time for unity and we can do this. Now, there are silver linings. I'm not going to talk about them until the 20th or the 21st, probably, I should say. Okay, in the meantime, I'm still going to stay focused on what we need to do regardless of whether it's President Trump or Joe Biden or Kamala Harris in the Oval Office on January 21st. We need to really come together to fight this post-truth society, because will it be easier with President Trump? Sure. But will we still need to fight? Absolutely. If anything, the fight might actually be harder for us, because at that point there will be no complacency. They're going to double, triple, quadruple down against us and against the truth. So we have to keep that in mind. So let's talk about some of the things that, that embody why we have to fight. And let's name the enemies. I mean, who is it that we're fighting in this post-truth society? Is it, you know, people that claim to be this, that, or the other? To some extent, yeah, I guess, but they're enabled. Okay? I mean, they're enabled. You have these laws that are being passed. I think it was Joe Biden who even said, it was a resurfaced video, I think from 2019, but basically he was saying that, look, you know, yes, I think that transgendered women, in other words, biological men in jail should be moved to female population jails. No questions asked. You know, that's their right. They should be intermingled with their own kind. And everybody's like, what, really? Well, not everybody, apparently. But the same people were like, no. That's a very, very, very bad idea. Okay? It's already been tried a couple of times. And I mean, it has resulted invariably. I can think of three instances where this has happened. And all three times resulted in rape. Okay? You put a biological male who's claiming to be a female, and like within a week after they're put into a female jail, women are getting raped and complaining about it by this, you know, fellow female, at least according to the post-truth society. But point being is, are these the people that we, are these the enemy? I would say no, not directly. They represent the enemy. The enemy is the people that enable this, the policymakers, the media. And let's start right there. Let's start with mainstream media and big tech, okay? So they control the information. They have a stranglehold on the information. We're growing. Okay, Knock Report is growing. We've had our first 2 months in a row. We've had million visitor months before, but this is the first time it's happened 2 months in a row. Great. You know, it needs to be 10 million. It needs to be 100 million. We see growth in sites like, you know, Breitbart. 100% Fed Up. If you haven't checked them out, a rising site. Good stuff there. But again, you combine all of this truly conservative media and the people that we can reach, whether it's with this podcast, with our videos, with our live streams, with our articles, with whatever, we're tiny compared to big tech and mainstream media. They have a stranglehold on the information. Okay, they just suspended a sitting congresswoman, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who we've interviewed on this show. Twitter just suspended her because she mentioned voter fraud, okay? Voter fraud took place. It did happen, period. I mean, you could debate whether or not it was enough to change the election. It was, but you can debate that if you want. You can debate if it was widespread. It was, but still, you could debate it. But you can't say there's no voter fraud, and you can't say that it's not a relevant topic. But Twitter is saying not only is it not relevant, it's anathema. You may not speak about it. It's Voldemort, you know, the topic that shall not be named. Same thing with YouTube. We had our video with Bobby Lopez and Jeff Dornick talking about voter fraud. Gone. YouTube canned it. They have the control of the information. At least for the majority of people, the normies, if you want to call them, the sheep. Or whatever, or the people that are disinterested, who are mildly interested, who are have succumbed to the machinations of the radical neo-Marxists, and that's really what this comes down to. People say it's the Democrats. No, it's not just the Democrats. Okay, it's the radicals. The radicals control the moderates. The establishment is controlled by the radicals now. I'm not just talking about how Nancy Pelosi has to pander to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from time to time. I'm talking about, you know, actually having control through the Chinese Communist Party, through George Soros, through anybody, through all of these various groups, through the Justice Democrats. The list of bad guys goes on and on. And that does include, again, big tech and mainstream media. They do have this stranglehold. So what do we do? You know, this, I'm not going to just sit here and rip on the bad guys. I need to be, you know, I have a responsibility to offer some solutions. And one of those solutions is the obvious one, I guess you could say. I mean, it's the one that should be pretty blatant. I don't see enough of it. What I see, and I'll explain what it is in a minute, but what I see is a lot of people who are still out there sharing not just CNN or Fox News, which, you know, they're on Twitter or Facebook or wherever, sharing links to these places. I see them sharing, you know, even far left sites. Say, oh, look how ridiculous this is. Link to Salon. I'm like, come on, guys. Okay. There's a site, newsbusters.org.com. Newsbusters, I don't know. Media Research Center, I think it is. Yeah, Media Research Center. They do great work, and they do expose the left from a media perspective. You know, if the left does something crazy, whether it's Salon or whoever, you know, the networks, the cable news shows, whatever, if they do something crazy, newsbusters.org is going to find it. Town Hall does a good job at this as well, exposing the left. And I'm talking about Town Hall media in general. You got Twitchy.com. You've got Red State, you know, Town Hall, of course, Bearing Arms. They've got a good little network there. PJ Media, good stuff. And shared more. Find alternatives. We need to popularize the truth tellers. And that doesn't just mean the people on the right. Okay, I want to be clear. There's a lot of conservative media out there that I do not consider to be truth tellers. I'm not going to name names other than ones that I've already done publicly, because the list is growing, unfortunately. And I want to be very careful because I think that having a quote-unquote Trump purity test, you know, if this site was calling for Trump to step down, you know, in the last week or so, not step down, but to concede in the last couple of weeks, okay, so maybe they're potentially redeemable. I don't like them at all right now, but maybe there's a comeback. But when you look at, like, the Daily Caller, okay, this is supposed to be a right-leaning publication, news outlet. They've gotten big and bigger and bigger. They were co-founded by Tucker Carlson. They were called, I mean, the editor-in-chief over there, days after the election, went on Twitter, a Twitter rant, completely offended by Tater. What's his name? I forgot his name. Tater, you know, CNN, Tater. Brian, gosh. This is embarrassing. It's a brain freeze. This is what happens when you're a boomer. Sometimes you forget the names, and since I don't have chat in front of me to save me, I'm just going to have to be shamed. We'll just stick with Tater. So the editor-in-chief over at Daily Caller was like, hey, why are you guys including us in MAGA-friendly media? We're not MAGA-friendly. Again, days after the election. Okay. It's like, we've been, you know, here's links to where we've debunked that voter fraud is not real, you know, or we've debunked the claims that voter fraud is real. We've proven that it's not real. Why are you lumping us in with all the bad guys? I'm like, wow, really? Is that how you feel? Shouldn't you be out there exposing voter fraud because it is real? It was pervasive. It did exist. It was widespread, and it probably changed the election. Instead of instantaneously, within days after the election, automatically saying there was no voter fraud, echoing mainstream media, trying to become a part of mainstream media. The same can be said about Washington Examiner. Washington Examiner on that, I think it was November 20th, 2 weeks after the election, they, as an editorial board, called on President Trump to concede. This was at a time when there was more and more and more and more information coming out that made it very clear that voter fraud did indeed occur. So I can call them out publicly. I won't call the others out, not yet. I will, maybe someday, but I need to watch. Because again, you know, we can't have any purity tests. It can't be like, oh my God, you know, and this happens so often, especially on the right, but it also happens on the left. Both sides do it. And when you start to get into the far right or the far left, it's like somebody could be perfectly awesome and do everything exactly right. They make one comment and they're done. They're canceled. They're out of the club. They're rhinos. They're, you know, part of the establishment. I know a lot of people are. If there's one silver lining, again, we don't want to talk silver linings during this episode, not until after the 20th. But if there is one silver lining I could just quickly mention, it's the fact that we do get to see. We now know for sure. Look, I've been saying for years, throughout the entire Trump presidency, that all these kudos for Mitch McConnell for getting his people confirmed, that he was doing his job, and it's a very easy job. Let's be clear, okay? Scheduling votes for confirmations, that doesn't take, you know, some miraculous conservative, ultra-amazing, deep thoughts, you know, it's like, okay, let's shoot for Tuesday, okay? Guys, mark it on your calendar. Tuesday, 10 a.m., we're going to vote on this judge, this district judge in Connecticut. Okay, that's what it takes to do it. He was not a friend of President Trump. He was not a friend of conservatives, and he was not a friend of America, and he never has been, and he never will be. Mitch McConnell is not and has never been worthy of praise. But we'll get to him again a little bit later. One other thing, though. So we have to be very clear. Let me get a drink here. We have to be very clear. You know, my wife, she texted me earlier, technically yesterday. She said, yeah, I'm not crazy about this story. I'm like, really? What's wrong with it? She's like, well, it's not accurate. I'm like, well, it is technically accurate. She's like, yeah, but don't play those games. And it was a story about a video that was circulated on Twitter. Donald Trump Jr. retweeted it, I think. I know Rudy Giuliani for sure retweeted it. I retweeted it. It was a video of after a press conference where Joe Biden, you know, appears to be confused. He says, okay, you know, I've already said too much. Did this thing where he loses his train of thought. I've already said too much. I'm going to go now. So he goes and he picks up his folder and he's kind of like looking around. He looks over to his right and then kind of looks confused and he looks over to the left and he starts to walk off. You know, looks dazed and confused. I think the title of the article included the phrase dazed and confused. But it was conspicuous, and I should have caught this. I should have caught it. It was conspicuous that the volume was turned down as soon as he, like, walked around the thing. The reason I didn't catch this, I thought maybe it was attached to the mic, and since he walked away from the mic, there was no longer sound. When I saw the video on YouTube, after my wife pointed it out to me, when I saw the video on YouTube, it was clear that the reason that he kind of looked confused and looked over to the right was because somebody was asking him a question. You could barely hear it. I didn't even wait to listen to what the question, or try to rewind it to hear what the question was. I just noticed that, you know, when you hear it in context, it's like he's just listening to him. That's why he's kind of looking dumb, and he kind of looks around, and he's kind of like, and then if in the clearer video, you can see that he even says something. You know, he mumbles something under his breath, but he kind of like gives like a, his reaction, the point being is that his reaction was based upon the question. It wasn't that he was confused. He was listening to the question. It annoyed him. Okay, whatever it annoyed him. So without the audio, it made it look confusing. And without, more importantly, without the clarity of the video at the end, you don't see that he's actually responding to his, and the response was relatively lucid. Point I'm trying to make is this, and we're all guilty of it from time to time, but she's right. That story should never have gone up. I should have done my research before getting all excited about, oh my gosh, this guy's an idiot. As a matter of fact, I need to go delete that tweet altogether. I did tweet it out there. I should probably delete that because it was false. It was wrong. We have to be better than manipulated media. We have to be better than rumors and innuendos. We need to research what we're going to share. Okay? If you see something that's damning, look into it before you push the share or retweet or whatever buttons there are out there. Don't just start mass emailing it out there. We've made too many mistakes in that regard, and we lose credibility. So we have to be accurate. There's plenty of bad stuff that we can find about Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, the Democrats, George Soros, New World Order, the United Nations, you know, Communist China, the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset. Listen, we have a wealth of data that can and should be shared that's accurate, that's proven, that's demonstrable. Don't share the fake stuff. I'm guilty of it. I need to stop, and so do you. So do we. So do all of us. We have to be better. If we're going to fight the post-truth society, we need to do so with the truth. Okay? That's all there is to it. If your truth manifests in the form of memes, you know, I used to be against memes because I didn't think they worked. Actually, they do. I was wrong. Memes can spread, and they can spread a very important message. Make sure they're good, though. Make sure they're accurate. And I'm not talking about accurate fact-checker-based, okay? So we've been fact-checked many times on things that are very clearly accurate. We've been fact-checked on quotes before, okay? We've had our Facebook channel or our Facebook page, you know, limited distribution on for the entire page and for the articles or whatever because we took a quote, didn't take it out of context. We took it in context. We put the full context. We did our interpretation of what that quote was. And then we get called out by Facebook, fact checkers, because it goes against their narrative. That's wrong. That's not the type of thing that we shouldn't share. In other words, if it's accurate, if it's not misleading, if it's just the truth, keep sharing it. I don't care what the fact checkers say, because the fact checkers are owned by the Chinese Communist Party and George Soros, literally. Okay? Those two are the primary funders of the fact checkers in the United States. Look that up. I had to look it up because, again, I don't want to share anything that's inaccurate. It is accurate. It is accurate. The fact checkers aren't just leftists. They're owned and paid for by the Chinese Communist Party or George Soros or both. All of them. Anyway, so what else are we facing? We're facing a big problem. And this is something that my friend Jeff Dornick, co-founder of Freedom First Network, he's been saying this for months. You know, this isn't just about bad policies if Joe Biden were to get elected. It isn't just about bad legislation if the Democrats took over the House or kept control of the House and took over the Senate. The big fear is that the type of legislation they can put out there, the type of changes they can make, could present indefinite Democrat rule. We're talking about ongoing until they destroy the country, which shouldn't might not even take 4 years. But they can make moves. They can legalize, for example, something that Joe Biden has been pushing for. It has to be done in steps, but eventually make it to where illegal immigrants are now able to vote. That would harm the Republican Party, generally speaking, even though there are a lot more immigrants and, you know, legal or illegal. There are a lot more that like Trump than anybody else would like to acknowledge. But the ones that are coming, there's a big caravan on its way right now. The caravans are going to start up again. Why? Because Joe Biden said, come on in. He didn't literally say that, but that's what they heard. They heard him say, hey, you know, open borders, come on in. Eventually, they're going to push for that. And it's going, again, it'll take steps. It's not going to be like, okay, today, you know, here's the decree and they can now vote. That's not how it's going to work. It's going to be rapid, but it's going to be in steps. You know, first they have to be allowed. Then they have to be, you know, we have to figure out how to be decriminalized. We'll deal with that in the weeks and months ahead. But they're also going to make a push for Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico, and possibly Guam to become states, if that's the case. Okay, Washington, D.C. is like, it's like literally 92%, it's crazy, 92% Democrat. That's going to be more electoral votes that go 100% guaranteed to Democrats. It's going to be more senators and congressmen that will be 100% guaranteed Democrats. Not sure how Guam will vote or Puerto Rico, but from what I've heard, you know, they're not as bad as D.C., but they will almost certainly be Democrat strongholds. Permanent rule. They'll try to get rid of the Electoral College. They say they're going to do some legislation. There are workarounds to the Electoral College. There really are. But they will be challenged, and we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens with that. But they are going to push for that versus doing an amendment, which is what should be required to eliminate it, and it should never be eliminated, period. You know, I used to be against the Electoral College, believe it or not. I know, here we go. You know, he failed the purity test, okay? 8 years ago, I was against the Electoral College because I was sitting there and I'm wondering, why in the world does my vote not count? Why can't, you know, nothing I can do will matter because I'm in a state that is far, I'm in California, I'm in a state that is far left. You know, I am irrelevant in the presidential election. So in a moment of weakness, I said, you know, maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea. It was stupid, I know. Don't turn it off. I've become very, very clear about my ideas since then. I had one moment of weakness 8 years ago, a single expression of this thought, and then, you know, it's haunted me ever since. But they, the left, wants to push this. So they will try. How do we stop it? We have to get aggressive, period. We have to get aggressive. We can't just go along to get along. We can't do business as usual as conservatives, as patriots, as libertarians, conservatarians, whatever you want to label yourself, Republican, you know, right-leaning independent. We have to get aggressive. We have to. And by aggressive, I'm not saying storm any capitals, okay? I'm not talking about that type of aggressive, not yet. What I'm talking about is we have to make moves, election moves that are strong. And that means, you know, starting the 2022 election today, right now, officially right now. You want to get rid of whoever. Start. Don't wait for election season to come along next year. Start now. Today. They are. Okay. One of the things, I mentioned the Justice Democrats a lot. I have a lot of respect for them their ideology is obviously exact, you know, diametric opposite of mine. And they do employ certain tactics that I would never in a million years consider. Okay. But their passion for what they're doing, I can respect that. Their desire to make it happen no matter what, their commitment to the cause, it's stronger than anything that the Tea Party ever had. I'm sorry, the Tea Party was great, but it failed in a dozen different ways. And one of the ways that it failed was commitment. We rode to Obamacare repeal too long, too far. You know, especially the fact that it didn't happen, thanks to Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan and John McCain. The fact that it didn't happen, you know, it's like, what was the Tea Party even for? Dave Brat, big, huge Tea Party win. And then now he's gone. There's been multiple Tea Party candidates. You know, some of them, they're not gone. They're no longer Tea Party. You look at Marco Rubio, okay? Marco Rubio came in as a staunch constitutional conservative Tea Party backer. Within 18 months, he was in the Gang of Eight. Okay. Within 24 months, he was expressing very strong neoconservative views. He bounces back and forth. He's essentially the best that he can be is maybe a maverick within the establishment. And he was the Tea Party's darling. Remember that. He was the Tea Party's darling. That just blows me away. But whatever we do, however we get aggressive, and I'll talk much more in detail because I do have some ideas. How we do get aggressive, whatever it is, it cannot involve cheating. If there's one thing that we have to remember is that the only way to fight the post-truth society is with truth. I mean, I shouldn't say the only way. There are ways, you know, make our lives bigger than theirs. We shouldn't. We can't. We lose. We lose our integrity, our morality. There are people, I would say the majority of us, who would support an aggressive attempt, an aggressive move to fix this. You know, a lot of them would not support, most, I would say, would not support cheating. Just because people are saying, well, if they're going to do voter fraud, we're going to do voter fraud. No, 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 don't do it. Now, with that said, where it's legal, so let's look at, for example, ballot harvesting in California. I hate ballot harvesting. I'm in California. I hate ballot harvesting. Democrats are exponentially better at it than Republicans. It's not just they have the majority. Or I should say a plurality. Democrats don't have a majority of the voters. They have a plurality of the voters. No, not even that, technically speaking. I think the majority of people, or the plurality, goes to the no party affiliation, whatever. Point being is that, you know, they're more organized and they're better at it. But it's legal here. Ballot harvesting is legal. One of my goals, I've talked to a couple of different organizations about it, is to try to figure out how to end ballot harvesting. The only way to do it, unfortunately, is to participate in ballot harvesting, because we're not going to win elections in California. The Republicans, conservatives, they will not win elections in California if they don't participate in ballot harvesting. So the only way to stop it is to use it. Anytime I say this, by the way, I always think of, you know, Yoda in episode 2, where it's like, hey, you know, there's these clones, and, you know, the clones, they're probably bad guys. You know, we don't know where they came from exactly. They may turn on us later, but, you know, we can use them now to try to fight the droids. Okay, what do you think, Yoda? It's like, yeah, okay, let's do it. And then, of course, he's the only one, well, he and Obi-Wan are the only ones that survived. But that's Star Wars, and I don't even talk about Star Wars anymore. Not since Disney came in and ruined them. Disney should be. So we've got to start winning elections, but we have to do it something else. I want to be very clear about this one, because this is something that I think a lot of people talk about. You know, they get gung-ho about it for a little while, and then all of a sudden, it's gone. Yeah, they're not talking about it. and that is getting rid of the feckless Republicans. We got to primary them immediately. All of them. Okay, so maybe there's two or three, four senators maybe that we can like. There's actually quite a few. I would say a couple dozen, maybe a few dozen in the House of Representatives that pass, I guess you could say, that have true conservative credibility, not just based upon their campaign rhetoric, but more importantly, based upon how they vote, what they do, what they stand for, how they operate. But the rest of them have to go. All of them. People will sometimes say, you know, you got to be careful because you don't want to do any harm. You don't want to turn it over to a Democrat. At this point, who cares? Okay, who cares? Seriously. What's the difference between a Republican that's just going to go along with the establishment and a Democrat? At least we can fight the Democrat. At least we it's easier to oppose them because we don't have to worry about them stabbing us in the back. You know, with these Mitch McConnell types, these Lindsey Graham types, sometimes they're okay, sometimes they're not. Look, I don't need my head spun anymore. I would rather oppose them. And if that opposition hurts them in their general election campaign, so be it. You know, the Hippocratic Oath, okay, do no harm. That's the first goal of a doctor. Well, you know, that's used to be, and I even embraced this idea back in the day. First idea, you know, look, we can't give the Democrats any more ground. It's not that I don't agree with that anymore. I don't think that it's real. In other words, any Republican that we can primary was weak enough to be beaten by in a primary and would have probably lost the general election. Any Republican that we primary and they survive and then they lose, they probably would have lost anyway. You can't. It's one of those things you can't prove a negative. You can't prove that it's wrong. Okay? Can't. Because it's all hypothetical. I'm going to stick with that because we need to go full board. All, you know, full measures. No half measures. We have to get rid of the Republicans that are weak. Now, some will say, I wish I could see the chat right now because I'm sure some people are saying, forget the GOP altogether. Let's start a new party. I'm all with you. Okay? If President Trump says so. And it's not because I'm a disciple of President Trump, okay? I'm not, it's not like, oh, whatever he says. It's because the only way that a third party can be valid is if President Trump were to come out and say, I'm leaving the GOP, I'm forming the Patriot Party, the MAGA Party, whatever. Okay, then it's got a chance. Then it could actually defeat the GOP. Otherwise, you get 10,000, 100,000, a million, 10 million patriots strongly opposing this, that, or the other. You know, forming this third party, still not enough. Not without a super strong leader. And right now, the only one who that could possibly be. Again, just because of his popularity, not because of... I mean, there's people that could lead a new party, have the skills and the mind and everything else, who could lead a new party as well, if not better than President Trump, but you have to have the popularity. And he's the only one who does. So, I'm sure if the chat is blowing up with new party, forget the GOP, new party, new party. Again, I'm with you as long as President Trump is taking the helm, pushing it at the very least. If he's not, then it won't work. We would have to continue with the plan. You know, with the Tea Party failed to do long term, we have to pick that up and make that happen today. And that is to do what the Justice Democrats are doing. Okay, use their model. Forget the Tea Party model. The Tea Party model failed. It had a few victories. There were a lot more defeats than victories. You know, whereas what the Justice Democrats are doing is starting to work. Okay, they're starting to get people, and they've been an organization for less than 3 years, and they've been able to install and make actual changes in the Democratic Party. Okay, I'm not saying we duplicate them, but we should look at what they're doing. We should take a look and see what are they doing right. What can we apply if we have as our bar, it must be truthful. It must be patriotic. That's pretty much it. Okay, defend the Constitution. That's what we're basing it on. Okay, you meet those three criteria: truth. Oops. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. We gotta go with what's going to work. Third party, if President Trump's involved. Fix the GOP better than the Tea Party was able to. Better than the Justice Democrats have been able to do with their party. We have to be able to do it. This is the part where, you know, I've been using, there was a time when before I sold my company and got into the political side of things a few years ago, I was on the phone probably, I don't know, 6-7 hours a day. I actually had 2 Plantronic Bluetooths. I needed them both, one on the charger at all times, the other one in my ear. And they were both connected to the same phone. Sometimes I'd have 2 phones and I would, you know, flip-flop them out because I was on the phone so much. After I sold my company, I just talked on the phone less. When those broke, I never replaced them. If I needed to go hands-free, I'd use $10 earbuds, okay, with a little microphone attached to the string. Things have been ramping up. We've been working on a lot more things, and I've been on a lot more calls. So I went ahead and, you know what, I need to get a new one. So I looked them up. I went to DuckDuckGo instead of Google because I don't like to use Google. And I looked it up, the Plantronic 5200, whatever. It works. It's nice Bluetooth and pretty durable. And noise reduction is great, yada, yada, yada. First listing, I did accidentally search on Google first because I went to go copy and I accidentally hit return. And the default on that particular browser was set to Google. The first listing, of course, was Amazon. I think the second listing was Amazon. So I quickly got out of there, went to DuckDuckGo. It sent me somewhere else where I ended up buying it, some factory direct something or another. Normally, for the last couple of weeks, I would have just gone to Amazon because it's usually cheaper. It's almost always faster. Okay, but, I can't. We've now ordered in the last, week or so, 2 weeks, we've ordered, I got my Bluetooth refurbished. What else? She just got something. An iPhone cover. I know you're going to say, but Apple's big tech. We'll talk about them later. She got an iPhone cover again. Didn't go through Amazon. A lot of us have grown addicted to it. They hate us. Amazon, Google, Facebook, Twitter, Apple. They hate us. They can say they're unbiased. They're lying. It is an untruth. They hate us. They hate conservatives. We have to stop using them, folks. We have to. If we're going to fight this post-truth society, we have to stop the people that are funding the lies. That's mostly in Silicon Valley. It used to be the big oil controlled everything, or big tobacco, big pharma, still has a lot of control. Big sugar, believe it or not, has a lot of control. There's a whole lot of big this and big that has a lot of control. Nobody has the same control or the level of control that big tech does. The United States of America is controlled in many ways by big tech because they don't just have the money. They have the mind share. They have the eyeballs. People use them. They have the users. Okay, there's no alternatives out there. At least that's what we've been led to believe. Again, I use DuckDuckGo. 90% of people use Google? Great, stop. Stop. Not only are the results biased, but being presented those ads, you're helping Google. Stop using them. I use DuckDuckGo. There's others out there. Stop buying from Amazon. A lot of times, believe it or not, I know we've been conditioned to think, it's always going to be cheaper on Amazon. It's not. Sometimes it's cheaper elsewhere. Go direct. Ripple. So I'm on keto diet. I'm not crazy about all these various milk alternatives. I can't do regular milk because it's got too many sugars. So I've been looking for, these alternatives. And you can go to Whole Foods or order Whole Foods through Amazon to get this pea milk. Like not pea as in urine. Pea as in actual pea. It's called Ripple. Okay. We found that we could just order it direct. Is it going to take longer than having it delivered to my door through the Amazon, Instacart delivery, Amazon delivery system? Yeah, it's going to take longer. So I'm going to have to go 3 or 4 or 5 days without milk. I'm sorry. It's worth it. You might say milk. Oh, it's just milk. It's just, what, $4, $6, something? I don't know. No. We have to stop. We have to stop using these companies that hate us. We need to stop funding the companies that are then funding the hatred towards us. They are driving the post-truth society. It's not just the academics, okay? It's not just the Frankfurt schools. It's not the politicians. It's the corporate entities, such as, and especially in Silicon Valley, Apple, Google, Amazon, Twitter, Facebook. The list goes on and on and on and on and on and on. We got to stop. Wean your way off of it. You don't have to be absolute. It'd be better if you were. I may not have to order anything from Amazon ever again. I sure hope I don't. And we're always going to be looking for the alternative. Try to go direct whenever you can. A lot of times it'll save you money. Maybe it's going to be $5 more expensive on a $100 item. Pay the $5. If you can. I shouldn't, you know, I don't know your situation. Maybe that $5 is too important. There's times when it's very important to us. So I don't want to be judgmental. But do whatever you can to stop funding these companies. Same thing, you know, like I said, Google, I could talk about them all day. We'll talk about Google and Apple here in a second. But then people will say, well, then why haven't you left Twitter? Why haven't you left Facebook? They hate us. Okay, they do. But that's a different situation because it's a communication concept. When it comes to communication, we still need to be able to communicate. We do not want to chop off our own legs. Okay, we don't want to strangle ourselves, to quiet our own voices. I'm not going to be quiet on Twitter. I'm not going to hold back on what I have to say. Is that going to probably get me banned? Yes, it probably will. But I'm not going to resign. I'm not going to just give up. I mean, I'm not going to cancel my account there just because I disagree with their version of censorship. Will they censor me? Probably so. Okay. A little bit shocked, and to be frank, I'm a little embarrassed that I haven't been... I haven't been censored yet. We've been censored all across Facebook, so and that's been going on since long before the election. But Twitter has not censored us yet. I've had a few, you know, those warnings, you know, election fraud warnings, but so far, okay, I've had one 12-hour ban, I think. Or ban suspension. It's a little embarrassing, I'll admit. I need to step up my game, get louder. I don't know. But I'm not going to leave. They'll have to kick me out because we need to communicate. We're going to stay on Parler. Parler had an announcement yesterday where they're back. They're not back, but at least they're live, sort of, kind of. They got a parlay, whatever you want to call it. One message from the CEO. You know, one of the things that I should note, and this is actually a good time for I haven't done the, I didn't do the, a promo yet today. You know, you see behind me. Let me make sure I get this right. I'm not in real time. Either here or here. I think it's over here. You'll see Freedom First Coffee. I'd ordered a bag because, again, I don't like to promote anything that I don't actually do or try myself. I ordered 10 bags after I ordered the first bag because it was awesome. I went to freedomfirstcoffee.com. I got the dark roast whole bean. Okay, caffeinated. You can get the medium roast round if you want. Your choice, your options. You can pick your poison, so to speak. Right? Go there. You won't find us on Amazon. You could buy us for $17.76, or you could use the promo code NOQNOCK. People ask, what does NOQ stand for? I always forget. I took it off the logo. Just for space. It stands for News, Opinions, Quotes, NOQ. News, Opinions, and Quotes. Those are our focus points. And I am literally drinking Freedom First Coffee on air as we speak. I'm not just the Freedom First Coffee president. I'm also a client. Let's see how many people remember that one. Damn. Yeah, I really wish I could see the chat. I miss it. This may be the last time I use Zoom. And for those who missed the beginning, the reason I'm doing it like this now and wasn't doing it before, I have to be able to, and I don't even like Zoom as a company. You know, I prefer to just use Restream, but I've found that as we're starting to get more and more guests, a lot of them just know how to use Zoom. We actually had a guest that declined because I wasn't going to do it on Zoom. It's like, no, it's really easy. You don't have to download anything, restream it. It works off the web. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to download anything. No, you don't have to download anything. Yeah, I know. I just don't want to download anything. It's like, okay, fine. I guess we won't have you on as a guest. So, freedomfirstcoffee.com. Find the Founders Blend. Use promo code N-O-Q. Let's see. I'm trying to keep these limited time-wise. I did one, just went on and on and on the other day. And I think it ended up being an hour and 45 minutes. And people only listen to about the same amount of as they would if it was an hour long. So I need to be more consistent. And keep it right at about an hour, which we are coming up on now. We're also going to try to make this to be a very regular thing. In other words, doing it every day at a particular time. A little bit challenging when your schedule is determined by a three-year-old, but we'll see. Other people can do it. I'm sure we can do it as well. Last point. This is the last point. This is arguably the most important point in this entire discussion about how do we resist the post-truth society. We have to build something. We have to build something. We have to build lots of things. Okay? They told us if you don't like Twitter, build something. Well, we tried that with Parler. We didn't, but Parler did, and they made the fatal mistake of being on with Amazon. Shouldn't have happened. Gab wasn't on Amazon. Gab owns their own stuff. I'm not saying Gab's better than Parler. They've just been stung more. Now Parler's learning their lesson. But it's not just about, you know, well, let's get a Twitter alternative. Let's get an Amazon alternative. We need to build new stuff. It's one thing that we're just not good at. We as conservatives, generally speaking, you know, why is Silicon Valley dominated by leftists? It's not just because it's location near San Francisco, okay? It's because they look at this stuff. We, as conservatives, we're good at a whole lot of things. We can and should be good at being innovative and creative when it comes to technology, when it comes to business models. We have a generally speaking, we tend to just perfect what's already out there. In other words, you know, if you want to find the best restaurants around, there's a reason why the restaurant industry, which is generally left-leaning as far as the employees, but the majority of the owners are actually conservatives. There's a reason for this. It's because they understand, you know, capitalism. They appreciate freedom. They've been red-pilled through their business. Whether they were in the beginning or not, they are now today. Most of them are at least fiscally conservative, if not completely conservative across the board. And that's where we excel. We as conservatives, we excel in those arenas. You know, why are there fewer, you know, law professors that are right-leaning? And by fewer, I mean, what is it, 10%? Approximately 90% of all law professors in the United States are left-leaning. Because generally speaking, conservatives don't become law professors. They just become lawyers. Okay? I mean, you know, they don't go teach it. They just do it. And that's not I don't want to generalize here. But I want you guys to understand that we have to start participating and planning this stuff out. With the rise of Marxism and the transition through the Frankfurt schools, through cultural Marxism, through Saul Alinsky, into what we're seeing today, the rise of neo-Marxism, all of this was predicated on a plan that has been evolving for the last 60 to 70 years, some will say longer. We have to think in those terms. I'm not saying we need to plan out what we're going to be doing in 2080. We need to acknowledge that two things have to happen. Number one, we have to save our nation now, now, now. We also have to start laying the foundation for keeping our nation. I don't want to fight this every 4 years, fight a new threat, a new rise of socialism, communism, the next version of the Great Reset, Agenda 2030 or whatever it's called. I want to be able to have a foundation to where we're not always putting out fires. We're getting into fire prevention. To do this, we have to start building stuff. And not just building stuff for ourselves. We have to start building stuff that others can use. I'm working with a couple of, well, I shouldn't say working with yet. Paperwork hasn't been signed, so I can't go into too many details. We're waiting for the NDAs and yada, yada, yada. But we are going to try to build something. Something that I think is desperately needed. And it's not just for conservatives. It's for anybody who loves freedom. They can be left-leaning freedom lovers. I don't care. As long as they appreciate the Constitution, as long as they appreciate freedoms and are willing to defend it, are willing to to acknowledge, their oath to support and defend the Constitution. They could be Democrats. I know there's going to be fewer, but there will be some. There will be some, I assure you. We have to start building things. Building a version of Amazon, a better version of Amazon. Or, like in the case with Parler, you know, building a version of Amazon that or not of Amazon itself, but AWS, Amazon Web Services. If Parler had been smart, they wouldn't have been down at all. They'd been down for a week. They didn't have to be. They could have had their stuff backed up on some place. They could have not been using a company that hates them. We don't have very many alternatives. We need to start building these alternatives. So I encourage you, you guys can always go to NocReport, NOQReport.com, NOQReport.com. There's a contact button that goes directly to me, okay? If you have some ideas, if you want to get involved, if you want to invest, okay? I've talked to 2, 3, 4. As of this weekend, I've talked to 9 different investors. For different reasons. I shouldn't just say investors, like in general. It's like, oh, you know, investors that want to do this, investors that want to do that, people that want to, you know, I've talked to a couple that wanted to buy Knock. I've talked to people that want to participate in other things that we're doing. I'm open to conversations. You know, there's no, oh, nope, never going to sell Knock. Okay, well, what about for $1 billion? Okay, where do I sign? You know, where's my check? You're going to give it to me in gold, Bitcoin? How's it coming? So yeah, if you want to buy Knock Report, you can buy it for $1 billion. That'll be the starting point. We can negotiate from there. Needless to say, the investors that I was talking to, they weren't offering me $1 billion. Yeah. But if they're listening, guys, it's not too late. It's not too late. $1 billion. $1 billion. Anyway, we have to start building things, folks. We have to start building them. And we have to do this, not just from a conservative perspective, but just, again, from a purely freedom perspective. That's the important part. That's the key to all of this. Parler wasn't, the CEO of Parler, the founder, I think he's a Democrat. You know, Bongino obviously is not. Dan Bongino is involved on the board. But their goals, they could work together because their goals were united. They wanted something that was free-ish speech. I won't call it free speech. And there should, let's be clear, there should not be absolute free speech when it comes to these platforms. There has to be some protections, okay? There has to be, you know, and those protections should be relegated to the law. Just because you have an open, oh no, we believe in free speech, you know, can't take down that child porn, can't take down that exploitation. Oh no, it's free speech. Sorry that you know, I know that this guy just put out the address for his ex-girlfriend. And told everybody on this platform where to find her spare key. There has to be certain limitations. We shouldn't, you know, I don't even like to talk about it in terms of free speech. But I do prefer the concept of freedom of thought. We do have to have platforms that offer freedom of thought. It doesn't matter if you are a radical leftist, if you are a fringe alt-righter. I might not agree with your ideas. But as long as what you're doing is not harmful, as long as you're not promoting things that are illegal, I'm not talking about harmful as in hate speech. Okay, hate speech sucks. It's also protected. That's a debate for some other day. This is where I really wish I could see the chat, but then again, the show would go on for probably another hour and a half if I were reading the chats. They're lambasting me right now, I'm sure. Folks, be sure to subscribe. Again, Apple Podcast is the most important one. I know we said we hate Apple. We do. I've reached out now to Patriot Mobile. I reached out because I want to stop. I personally want to stop. My wife already made the move. I want to stop using, my provider, AT&T? T-Mobile? One or the other. I don't handle that stuff usually. But, I reached out to Patriot Mobile. I want them to be a sponsor of this show. I want them to be a sponsor of Freedom First Network. I want them to at least give me some kind of discount on my phone because I'm about to order one from them. Damn it. Because I don't want to use AT&T or Verizon or Sprint or whoever. You know how much I keep up with tech. And people say, well, but you have to use Google because of Android and you have to use Apple because of iOS, one or the other, right? Well, yes, for now. I mean, there are alternatives. I'm looking into them. You know? That's a little bit hard. I guess that's a larger leap than just saying I'm not going to buy from Amazon or I'm not going to search on Google. You know, operating systems, we become used to them. They are, let's face it, mobile is a huge part of our lives. Are we ready to relearn a different one or one that's less trustworthy or whatever? I don't know how you can get less trustworthy than Apple or Google, but I can understand that part. But eventually we need to get that fixed. We need to build it. Somebody needs to build it. I want to build a lot of things. You should too. So let's just do it. I know I'm oversimplifying a bit. Am I really? Am I really? There should be enough people out there who can and will invest into projects that are focused on freedom, that are focused on expansion of ideas, not contraction. All of the big companies today are contracting ideas. They're taking them and they're trying to limit them. You cannot say voter fraud on Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube. You will be banned. At the very least, suspended. Your content will be taken down. You are anathema. If you think, if you express, even if you're sharing facts, because they want us to embrace the post-truth society. And we must not. We must resist. Strange stuff. Lord willing, I will be back very soon with another episode. But in the meantime, you guys stay strong, stay safe, and God bless you.